TR W2T. Sorry, N0 TR W2T. Okay, W2T mobile.
W4FHJ.
You got it, antenna. Need to give your call sign out when you do that.
Okay. This is W4 Foxtrot Hotel Juliet. Didn't quite get what you said there. Got a fairly good signal, but it's somewhat distorted, I believe, at least on my receiver.
Because my skin's like paper anymore, Larry. I'm afraid I'm going to have to sign with you. I'm just not receiving the repeater well enough.
Larry, I'm not sure. It could be me, but I don't think so. But it's been a pleasure, and thanks for the call, and enjoy your lunch, Larry. You can always hit a McDonald's on the way back to work. Take care. N0TR, clear.
Have a good rest of your day. All goes well. N0TR, KC4SKD.
N4DJC.
I didn't know if that was Larry or me. I double-checked. I got the power on high now. We're just now hitting some hills up towards Highway 11 north of our house. So I may be sketchy in there, over.
100% solid.
Well, I can't remember his call, but he was a real nice guy. Enjoyed visiting with him. We're going to pick up the 8 new girls. How's your day, buddy?
Had to go out to the DMV this morning to some paperwork for my son's new truck, so he works, he didn't get off work till 7 o'clock every day, so it's hard for him to get out there, so I dropped it off. There's a long line in there. They said there wasn't anybody waiting in line when I looked it up on the computer, but there was a bunch of people in there, but luckily it took me about 2 minutes to get in and get out, so that was that. And Had a nice tomato sandwich for lunch. It looks like maybe the grandkids are headed over here this afternoon a little bit later on.
Well, I think we're running a little late here, but I don't think it'll matter to the chickens. But Eamon, the guy that has the chicken man place, he said around 1 o'clock they had doctor's appointments. And I've got to tell you, this was probably one of the worst days for pain I've had in a long, long time. I couldn't hardly walk. And then I looked at the mail that was coming today, and it said, oh, you're getting a bill from Prisma Health. And, you know, I went to that doctor, and I told him, I said, I can't take another one of them double shots in the rear. I said, they're just too painful. And it makes me wonder if the insurance turned it down. I don't know. I got good insurance, and I got Medicare, but I told him it just hurt too much, and I didn't think it done any good, and he said, well, he's sorry he hurt me, and he said, by the chart that I filled out afterwards, it looked like it done some good, but that's my normal procedure. I get up and I hurt real bad, and then as the day goes on, I get to moving around, I don't hurt as much, and so we'll have to wait and see. It is what it is, as Rusty used to say.
I tell you what, luckily we got a good supplement plan with Medicare, so I don't pay any deductible on mine. It's pretty expensive per month, but it pays in the long run. I really don't have to pay anything. And my wife's got, she just pays a Medicare deductible. The rest of it's covered under her supplement plan, so it's not too bad. I think it's like $180 or something like that, and then after that, everything's done. But I've been having a terrible time with my right foot. I couldn't figure out what it was. I thought maybe I'd damaged my foot somehow or another. I had some new socks I was trying on. Those things were a little too constrictive or something across my arch, and I changed my socks, and now I'm back to probably about 95%. Still can't dance, so Tom. N4DJC.
This is N0TR. I never could. I was a musician, but I could not. I just wasn't very good at dancing. I just never cared for that. But we went to a concert once out at Beach Aircraft. I took the daughter to it because she was into music. And they played ballroom dancing music, and oh my, it was beautiful watching those people do that, but I could never do it. I don't know how they choreograph that and keep in step with each other, but boy, the mountains are beautiful up here. Jerry, we got 4 inches of rain there yesterday. It's N0TR.
We might have gotten an inch, inch and a half, and maybe that much the day before, but it looks like it's going to be dry until sometime maybe next week. So we got some good rain yesterday, but it cleared up yesterday afternoon, but it poured now. We went to the first movie we've been to in a long time. It poured while we were in the movie theater, but yeah, we must not be paying the preacher, as they say, Tom, because we didn't get quite as much at our house as it did on the other side of 85.
N0TR with the man on the mountain. Boy, I'll tell you, we got caught out on I-85 one time, and it got so bad we had to pull over. And that's about as dangerous as trying to keep going, but I couldn't see. I think we'd been to Columbia, and I don't remember, but I'll tell you, I just, you know, if I'd had that procedure done, which was just a shot of Novocaine, basically, in the rear, lidocaine, and then two of the other shots that were just a deadening agent that felt like a square needle, I'd had to drive clear to Columbia if I had it done by the VA. And I have Medicare and a supplement, and it pays good. So I just, I didn't want to do it. And I could have requested that they send me to this doctor, but I didn't. And the doctor said, you know, my doctor at the VA said, it doesn't really make any difference. We still charge your Medicare and your supplement, so what's the difference, you know? So I guess he's right.
Places, especially the associated hospital systems, it's really odd they have. They do, especially emergency room physicians, a lot of those people are under contract to the hospitals, and they don't abide by. Some of them don't take traditional Medicare. They take, you know, they don't take Medicare assignment, I guess is the correct word. Some of them get overcharged a little bit, but my supplement pays for the overcharge. But some of them, they don't take traditional Medicare, so you don't know. Normally, you know, most of these doctors associated with Prisma have their own offices, or if they accept traditional Medicare, that means they have to abide by whatever the cost is, whatever Medicare, you know, they have to accept what Medicare pays. They normally can't charge any more than that, but sometimes they bring in anesthesiologists and other people, and it's just a, you know, it's just a conglomeration. It's a mess sometimes when you're dealing with these big hospital systems. And it requires some stuff to think about. But, you know, when you're in an ER situation, you can't pick and choose. You got to take what they give you. But luckily, they paid for my entire ER visit. I had that heart situation here about a month ago. So I didn't have to pay any of that, including the ambulance drive right either. So I was very fortunate.
Ambulance ride cost anymore. I think it was about $400 when that lady ran in the side of our car up in Kansas years ago. It probably scared me to find out now. But I had a friend that flew with helicopter one time to the hospital, which was probably no more than a 30-minute flight from where he was at. It was 30 miles, and probably less than that. It was
$40,000,
I think, Jerry.
Right. They generally, they'll do that, you know, but it's crazy sometimes. I don't think they'll crack that bird up for less than $10,000. But they put me in a helicopter. I better be close to death is all I could do, because I don't like them. You're not supposed to fly anyway. I don't like them. I don't like the sound of them. And I just don't like being in one at all. And I've flown a lot of them in Bell Jet Rangers over the years, and I just don't. Every time I went up, I didn't like it at all. It's kind of like guys going up in an airplane. You know, why jump out of a perfectly good airplane if you don't have to?
I turned right in it. Yeah, I think so. We got to turn off on 25 up here, Bernie. See the GPS? Yeah, I've flown in them. I took the kids up in one by the Arch in St. Louis one time. Yeah, it was a jet one. But they don't fly, Jerry. They beat the air into submission. And so you're quite correct. And I was sitting on in a helicopter, I think it was CH-43 on board the carrier I was on, and I was talking to another fellow named Tom I'd been to school with, and I said, Tom, why aren't you in a blank crew? And he says, feel the side of this. And I reached over on the inside and felt it. And it felt like tissue paper, basically. And he says, you know them guys shooting at you down there, that stuff just don't stop bullets very well, Tom. And he says, I'll just stay here on the carrier if I have a choice. And, you know, after I got over there, I understand him fully.
And nowadays they're up armored some, but you know, they just don't fly fast enough. And, unless you're coming out of a, you know, I tell you, the guys, I knew one guy that was he flew in one of those L-19 bird dogs. He was in the Army though. And one of the guys that I knew, he passed away years ago, I guess, though, but he flew in one of those Sky Raiders. And he said, when you flew in that baby, he said, they were hard to take down. They were up-armored. They had armor all around the cockpit. And he said, I had plenty of stuff to shoot at them with.
That's the little 84. We call them Tonka toys. They were on our carrier for a while, the guys told me. But it took them off because the hydraulic catapults we had, they were not steam. They were hydraulic from World War II, and they tore them up too bad. They just weren't built to take that. So they put them on the CVAs instead of the CVS carriers. We were in a submarine warfare carriers, and we escorted the CVAs. Now they do it all from one ship, Jerry. But, if he was on a Sky Raider that was an A-1 Sky Raider, that's what my uncle died in at Cherry Point. He crashed one. And those were a real bear of an airplane. They used them. So just before I got over there, they give them to the Vietnamese Army, South Vietnamese, and they could carry their weight in bombs just about.
He flew the, I guess it was radial engine Sky Raiders, and I think he flew, Essex class maybe. It was a small carrier. That's what he flew off of when he was in Vietnam. And he was a really nice guy. He said he liked it. He said it could fly. He said it could stay up there for a long time. And yeah, unless they got any aircraft, he said I could fly in and fly out. Toast them, burn them up, and shoot at them while they were burning.
Yes, in Gerald T.R. He's quite correct. That had a 3350 radio, if I remember right. And Dwight was making a landing at Cherry Point. He requested a go-around, which was unusual, and they don't know why to this day. And then when he come back, he got just above the runway, and he gunned it, and it did a torque roll. The airplane actually turned around the engine and grabbed a wing and went end over end, and it killed him. He was real young, too, a captain in the Marine Corps.
Lynn's great-uncle was killed sometime, I think, after the Battle of Midway between the Coral Sea, Battle of Coral Sea on board the Yorktown. He was XO, and Butch O'Hare was one of his flight members of his flight, Jimmy Thatch. He had been, I know her uncle said they were stationed in Hawaii then. He was an Annapolis graduate. And he said Butch O'Hare used to ride him around in his hot rod. He had a 1932 Ford Roadster. He was probably 10 or 12 years old then, I guess, Tom. He said he was riding around with O'Hare in the hot rod. But he landed on the Yorktown, and one of the guys he was training came in behind him, missed the hook, and cut his F-4 in half. I think he killed him instantly, but it was kind of sad. He'd already shot down. I think he shot down either one or two Japanese bombers when they were defending the Lexington, I think. And he got distinguished flying cross.
But it killed him when they did that, Jerry?
Basically said he died, you know, it cut the plane in half and hit across the cockpit. And one of the guys that was there that actually witnessed it said that said he was still alive when they got to him, but you know the injuries were so bad they couldn't save him. And they don't know what happened. You know, that's one of the things about, you know, they had a refrigerated morgue on board the Yorktown. And I think they're not real sure if he was buried at sea or whether he went down with Yorktown, one or the other, when it was later, I think, or damaged. I'm not sure if I got that correct or not. I may be misplacing my dates there.
TR. Well, that's sad, Jerry, but those things happen. But yeah, Dwight, he left a wife and two children, and that was a rough one. I remember that was the first military funeral I ever went to. Well, those were a wonderful plane. They actually shot down some jet aircraft with that propeller aircraft, and that's highly unusual. But they were just very maneuverable, and they could stay on station forever, and they carried a tremendous bomb load. And they could do a deck run. The one I flew in could do a deck run. You didn't have to use the catapult, but I never did do a deck run in one, but catapults, yes, but not deck runs. Let's see, this is our turn in it, Bernice. And we're turning on to 25 here, Jerry.
We're pretty close to the location. Yeah, they were good planes. I think South Vietnamese flew up a while longer too after they gave them to them. But he told me, and I don't know whether this is correct or not. You can probably correct me because my uncle was on board. I think he was on board the Roosevelt during Vietnam when it was when they made the trip out there. I think he was the guy that was killed. I mean, that flew the Sky Raider. He was telling me that they used to fly. They would do cover for helicopters, which I thought was unusual, but it made sense. He said, you know, we could cover. He said, we could just lay down a barrage. He said, like nothing else, and those choppers could get in and get out, which suppressed the NVA fire while they were getting in and out of that, which I thought was kind of unusual because, you know, the gunships usually could take care of stuff. He said they couldn't take care of stuff like we could. He said we'd have, I don't know whether it's like four in a flight or what, but he said we could just circle up there for hours and keep the area clean. He said they'd sneak back into the jungle too. And it looks like they could pull in some anti-aircraft, you know, artillery to try to shoot them down.
I don't doubt it one bit. They carried Zunis, 2 3/4-inch rockets, I think, like we carried those, and Havars. They carried Willie Peter, which was white phosphorus, and then they could carry tons of bombs. They were really mean, and plus their regular guns, which I don't know what they were, probably 50 calibers. Just an incredible aircraft, and yes, the South Vietnamese, we gave them to them, and they flew them for quite a while. But we, what they called them there, Jerry, was Sandies, and they were well received by ground troops, I can tell you that. It was fun to shoot those rockets. We'd go out, and there'd be a ship, and it'd be towing a target. And the air crew, well, there was just two of us on that plane, and we didn't have anything to do. And they go up to a certain level, I forget how many feet, and then they put it into a dive. And we try to stand up or move or anything, and you really wasn't pulling a tremendous amount of G-forces, but you couldn't get out of your seat, I'll guarantee you that. But we could lean out and look forward and see where the rockets were hitting and that. And then they carried a bullpup missile, which was, they didn't fire those very often. They were expensive. Down on the Yorktown there in Charleston, that S-2 there has one of them sitting beside it. It's a big missile, but the tactical coordinator, the co-pilot, he guided it with a joystick into the target, Jerry.
They're guided then.
No, this was more than the Neanderthal age, I guess you'd say, but that was the top of the line then. The A9s and all of those weren't even invented yet. The air-to-air stuff. Now, the F-4s carried some kind of air-to-airs, but I don't know what they were. But they all evolved into the Sparrows, and I was trying to think what that AIM-9 was, but they perfected them eventually. The first ones they had over there, those guys had fired from the A-4s, and they wouldn't detonate.
Skywriter had, like I said, the guy told me, he said, really, Skywriter's kind of, they just modernized the Skywriter and turned it into the A-10 Warthog. He said, that's kind of based on the same thing, heavy armor, and heavy firepower.
Well, then a titanium bathtub that the pilot set in, and that 30 millimeter, I guess it is, gun on there is huge, and the fire rate on it is huge. Yeah, they just kind of groan when they shoot. That's a tremendous airplane. They keep trying to phase them out, but I'll tell you what, I'll bet you they give their weight in gold to have them in the Ukraine right now, Jerry.
Have some of them have 30 millimeter cannons, or did have them. I'm sure it may be different versions of it, but I know that they'd love to have those things. That they could just hope you could. I know that when I've seen them fly the last time I was at Myrtle Beach, you can't hear those things as if they're on top of you either. You can see them, but you can't hear them. And they can, if you were flying at night and knock out some radars or knock out some radar emplacements with it, that'd be a dangerous thing to have. And I guess the only other one I've actually seen much about is C-130s and C-5As that they turned into with Gatling guns and that sort of thing. I don't think the C-47s, I guess, the ones I'm most familiar with. I've seen those fly. And I've seen the interiors of them when they still had the guns in them. You know, that thing was armored pretty heavily, too. I'm surprised they didn't use them more often than they did in Vietnam. But they didn't. They flew a lot of missions, but they didn't do quite enough damage like some of the new ones would.
And the C-47s puffed the Magic Dragon, but Iraq had the Spectres, and they were C-130s, and I've been up to those at the U.S. Air Force Museum in Dayton, Ohio. They got one, and it even had a 155-millimeter cannon in it, and a 40-millimeter pom-pom gun, and oh my gracious, it was just armed to the teeth, and it took the place of Puff the Magic Dragon, you might say. And it's, they called it a Spectre. And they lost one in Iraq, actually. But they were supportive ground troops. Beautiful airplane. If you ever get a chance to go up there, you ought to, Jerry. But recently I saw the A-10s fly. Our nephew was in the Air Force at the time, and he took us to Richards Gabar Air Force Base in it's around Grandview, and it's near Kansas City. And they did a show for us. And, yeah, those things just kind of whine. And it is 30-millimeter cannon, and they shoot uranium-intensified projectiles that'll go right through tank armor. Ukraine could really use those now. That's in Gerald T.R.
To the Air Museum. I went up there when I went to the Ham Fest years ago. That was about as worth the trip as going to the Ham Fest, to be honest with you. I really enjoyed that. But we went up there, we went to the one of the Air and Space Museum in Huntsville, too. We went to that one. Blake Popov was in the Air Force during Korea, so I think he went by there. They were going to Indianapolis to the race one year, and I think they went up to the motorhome and went by there. I think they really enjoyed going there as well. But that one in Dayton, it was a lot bigger than I expected to see. That's been, 25 years ago, maybe longer ago than that when I was there in 40 GC.
Well, I enjoyed it more than the Aerospace Museum, if that's possible. I've been to it two or three times in Washington, D.C. But that one in Dayton is just totally incredible. You remember the B-70 Valkyrie, Jerry?
I'm in there when I was there.
I don't know how this happened, but I'm looking at my tachometer, and there's a toad in my tachometer. I hope to heck that son of a gun don't jump. I don't know how he got in there. One of those little bitty ones, he's about, see him, Billy?
Yeah.
He's an inch and a half long, and I'll pull over when I get a chance and dispatch this little fella, and I hope he don't wee-wee on my tachometer. Might short it out.
He peeks behind the plastic, the cover on it, maybe hoping he might find his way out.
That happened before. I've had spiders in the car, but I never had a toad in the car. Ain't got a place to pull over. That really sucks. I'll wait till I get up here. I'm not scared of him in the least, but if he jump up in your face, it'd be kind of discerning. Man, he's just tan, got very little markings on him. Somebody probably brought him up from South America and it's one of those poison ones, Jerry.
Poison dart with no hope not. That'd be kind of disconcerting to have one, have, no matter whether it's poison or not, have one jump on your glasses and block your vision.
I better let you go. I'll catch you on the way home maybe in a little while. 73, just in general TR's clear for now.
See you, Tom. You and Bernice have a good day. Not here for me. In 0TR, N4DJC clear.
Very good pick of that, Tom.
That was it. You're breaking up too bad, but I think it was a comment about the toad. In 0TR clear.
CBA Mobile.